go and take out our Bibles and close the book of James. Well, as you know, this month we've been focused on prayer, and we've been reading through the book Too Busy Not to Pray Together. The title of the book isn't Too Busy Not to Pray Together, the title of the book is Too Busy Not to Pray, but we've been reading through it together, and we've been having classes and on our midweek meetings and on our Sunday services focused on just the whole topic of prayer. And today we're going to be looking at a lesson that comes from essentially from chapters 8, 9 and 10 of that book. And we're going to be talking this morning just about why there are unanswered prayers in our lives. But first of all, let me wish you a happy new year. Kung Hei Fat Choi. It is Chinese New Year today. And I believe it's the year of the tiger. So and also happy Valentine's Day as well. And just out of interest, how many of us did receive a Valentine's card this morning? Okay, and how many of us didn't receive... No, don't put your hands up. If you didn't, commiserations, but we love you. I received a Valentine's card from my wife. I really appreciated that. I sent her one as well, which I'm sure she appreciated. I gave a little card to my daughter. In fact, actually, I sent a card to both my daughters for Valentine's Day. And Julie, with Julie's help, I bought some perfume for both my little girls. I say little, but they're both my daughters, and gave it, they are big now, but gave them perfume as well. And in Hannah's card, I wrote a little poem. I said, you are a little beauty, lovable through and through. I hope this gift gives you a lift and makes you smell good too. And, she appreciated that. But, you know, in the book, one of the things that we've been reading, it says that one of the greatest motivations for us to pray is just the whole area of answered prayer. You know, when you see God answering your prayers, then it's really, really motivating just to help you to keep praying and to be consistent in our prayer lives. But the question comes, well, why are some of our prayers not answered? And the book addresses some of this. Sometimes the prayers we pray are inappropriate. Maybe we're praying for things that really... because we don't have the big picture or the full picture, we really shouldn't be praying for. Sometimes we're praying for things, but the timing's not right. And God will answer our prayers in due time. But there's another option why our prayers aren't answered, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And that's just the fact that the problem lies with us. That we can be the problem. Look over in James chapter 1 and pick up here in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The Bible says in verse 6 that when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. I think lack of faith is one of the areas in our life that can cause our prayers not to be answered. He says we can't be like a double-minded man blown backwards and forwards by the wind and the waves, but rather there's got to be a consistency there. And there's got to be a solidity and an unswerving character. You know, it's like anything in life. If you commit to something, but you're double-minded, then you're not going to see the kind of results that you really want to see. It's a little bit like, you know, if you commit, for example, to, say, getting fit, for example. Or if you commit to, say, going on a diet. And if your commitment is kind of like, okay, this is a good thing to do, and so I'm going to give it a go, then the chances are you're not going to be very successful. But if your decision is, you know what, this is the right thing for me to be doing, and I'm really going to commit myself 100% and wholeheartedly to this, then you're more likely to have victory and success. I remember when I first started taking up running years and years ago, back when I was at university. And there was someone I was reaching out to, another medical student who I was inviting along to church, and she was interested in going running, and so I said, I'm interested in going running too, why don't we go running in the mornings together? And you know, for about the first 5 weeks of the term, we actually did that. We'd get up in the morning at 6 o'clock and go running before breakfast, before leaving for university. And I was, in my heart, I was doing this partly because I knew it'd be good to get fit, but partly because I wanted to be able to reach out to this girl and have her come along to church. And she did, and she would come along to our group Bible discussions. But my heart wasn't really in it. And I remember the very first time it snowed, as it approached December and it snowed, and she came knocking on my door, and it was 6:30 in the morning at that point, and she said, oh yeah, are we still going? And I said, well, you know, it's kind of snowing outside, probably best if we just wait until it's not snowing. She said, oh, okay, yeah, that's probably right. And that was it, we never went running again. My heart wasn't really in it in the first place. And you know, the interesting thing, I've done the same thing over the years with other areas of my life, whether it's for example, committing to going on a diet, for example. And it's not that I've committed to go on a diet, it's more that I felt, this would be good, I need to lose a little bit of weight, I've got to do this, okay, so let me just cut out some of these things, but my heart wasn't really in it. And then the minute someone offers me something which is not really ideal, I would say, yeah, well, I don't want to offend them. And so of course, yes, I'll accept it. Yes, more tiramisu, please, thank you. But it's only because I hadn't really been totally committed from the outset. You know, when we pray about things, we go to God in prayer. If our hearts are, well, you know, I kind of believe God's able to answer this, and I think He will, and I think, but there's this wavering, and there's this doubt, and it's going backwards and forwards, why would God bless that kind of a life? But not even just that. If we're going to be faithful in our prayers, we've got to be faithful in our life. And how can we pray faithfully if we're not living faithfully? No, and look over in James chapter 5. In James 5, and pick up here in verse 13. He says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Now, James says in verse 13, he says, if any of you in trouble, he should pray. And you know, sometimes that's easiest for us when we're in trouble to then get desperate and we pray. But he says, is any of you happy? Well, you should also go to God in prayer and praise him. It's not just in the bad times that we turn to God, but it's in the good times as well. In fact, there ought to be a consistency, whether we're well or even when we're sick. He says, if you're sick, get other people in to help pray with you as well. I know for me, when I get sick, particularly if I get sick over a long period of time, my desire to pray just diminishes. And I get into this spiral of self-pity. You know, we have to be consistent. Because if we are not consistent, if we're not praying in the good times as well as the bad times, if we're not praying when we're healthy as well as when we're sick, then what will happen is that we're just going backwards and forwards, and we become the unstable, double-minded man or woman for whom, if we're not living faithfully, how can we expect God to answer our prayers? He says in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. When's the last time you confessed your sins to someone else? When's the last time you were just open about the things that you're struggling with in your own life? See, again, if we're not dealing with sin, how can we honestly pray with expectation? If we know that there is undealt with sin in our lives, or we know that we're not living a life of full commitment, then how can we go to God in prayer genuinely believing God's going to hear my prayers? There are many passages, and you know them, Isaiah 59, Psalm 66, where the Bible talks about how sin will hinder our prayers. In 1 Peter 3, when the Bible talks about how husbands should be dealing with their wives, but again, so that our prayers are not hindered. We have got to make sure that we are living lives that are consistent with our beliefs. And because we're being faithful in the way we live, then we can be faithful in the way we pray. And then God will bless us. You know, the Bible says that Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly, but it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Wouldn't that be great? Just to be able to pray, God, please don't let it rain today. Now, obviously, his prayer was appropriate because God was using Elijah's prayer to bring judgment on his people and to make his presence felt. And so it was an appropriate time, and also the timing was correct. But Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. There's a consistency in his prayer life. There was an earnestness in his prayer life. And that's the way it should be for us. You know, today is an exciting day because, it's particularly exciting because of, for the Hill family, and that's one of the reasons why when you look around you'll see some familiar but not regular attenders at the church here in the East. Now, in fact, I want to get the Hill family to go ahead and stand at this time. So I can see Katie and Alex is over there. I can see Naomi over here. We can see Ben and Tiki, obviously. And the reason that they're here this morning is because Tiki's mother is going to get baptized today, which is really encouraging. And this is Sarah. TT will share some more later at the baptism just after the service has finished. But TT has been praying consistently and persistently for her mother over a period of many years. And you know, it's encouraging now that today we can see those prayers being answered. But sometimes we pray for family members, we pray for friends, we pray for our children or our spouse or others, and we just don't see those answers to prayer. And then we're tempted at that point to just want to give up. We're tempted at that point to think, well, God's not hearing me. Maybe we just need to persevere. Maybe we just need to be earnest over a long period of time. Maybe we've just got to look at ourselves and see, well, what am I not doing right that could perhaps be a hindrance or a block to God answering my prayers? I think lack of faith is an issue. I think another area can be lack of love. Look back in chapter 2 of James. In verse 1 he says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment." You know, here he's talking about just for that congregation, for the church then, not to show favoritism. You know, showing favoritism, again, it's a lack of love. But he's talking about, you know, if you've got someone coming into your church who's rich and well-dressed, and you've got someone else who's kind of shabby and not so well-dressed, and you say to the rich person, here you go, here's a seat, you dusted off, and I've got this nice seat reserved for you, and to the other person, oh yeah, you can go and sit at the back. So that's not loving. That's not kind at all. I experienced that one time. Myself and Archie and Tim Dannett, we were out in Wales doing some, just gone camping and spending time together. And we went into a local place to get a drink, and we went in there, and and as soon as we walked in, the whole room went quiet. Because all the locals were in there, and we were clearly not local. At least certainly I didn't fit in by any stretch of the imagination. And the whole place went quiet, and the guy came over to us and said, you've got to go round the back. And we had to go, and there was this little place reserved for non-locals that was dingy and dark and very small, and that's where we had to go. We thought, oh, we sat there like, what? It's like we'd entered some kind of redneck country. It was like, it was just really kind of horrible. But you know, we can do the same thing though. We can do the same thing inadvertently, where we tend to gravitate towards people that we feel more comfortable with, for instance. You know, think about your own situation, your own friends, your circle of friends. Does that circle include people from all different backgrounds? Does it include people from different stratas of society? Does it include people from different cultures and different nationalities to yourself? Or do you kind of just spend time or hang out with the people who you feel most like you? And so those are the people that you want to be around more readily. You know, we've got to have this a complete lack of favoritism. I remember even growing up and going to church, I remember there were special seats that were reserved for special people. And, you know, you had, different pews, and different families sat on different pews. And some pews that had been put in, and because the family had donated money, and it even had a little plaque saying this was paid for by whatever. And so it was special and it was reserved. And so you had good seats for the good people. You know, this morning, Simon came along. Simon, by the way, just so you know, he's recovering from a back injury, and it flared up again just recently. And so he's struggling to walk, and so I saved him two seats there at the front. And he came in, and his friend Nabila came with him, and I said, okay, save some seats. And Nabila was saying, oh, it's okay to sit here on the front row. And I said, no, seats are, anyone can sit anywhere. And that's true, anyone can sit anywhere. You don't have to be really, really important to sit at the front. Neither do you have to be really unimportant to sit at the back. In fact, sometimes it's good just to switch it around a bit. So if you usually sit at the back, come and sit at the front next Sunday. And it's okay. In fact, the seats are just allocated on who first come, first served. All right? And so, and we would really, really want the people who usually sit at the back to come to the front. Because you arrive 15, 20 minutes earlier than you would normally, so you can grab a seat at the front. But you know, there should be no favoritism. And there should be no sense of, okay, this person's special. But no, in the Bible, we can't have that. That's why it's strange. When you go to a church or a congregation in London, which is one of the most multicultural cities on the planet, it would be very strange to go into a church and see that everyone is very similar. Either that they're all of the same nationality, they're all the same color, or class, or culture. That would be weird. Why would that occur in a city where everyone is from different places, and we are called to love everyone equally? And so when we share the gospel, we don't just share the gospel with the people that we feel most comfortable with, but rather we share the gospel with anyone and everyone, because everyone needs to hear the truth. I think if you go to a church like that, they're not following the word of God. I think if our lives reflect that, we are not following the word of God. And we cannot have that in our lives and expect God to answer our prayers. There's got to be a love, and we've got to love others in the same way that Jesus loved us. You know, when Jesus loved us, Jesus wasn't like us. But the Bible tells us that he became like us. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 tells us that he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor, so that we could become rich. Hebrews 2:17 tells us that he became like us, so he can help us. Paul has the same attitude in 1 Corinthians 9:22, where he says, "I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." Our attitude should be that we don't focus on creed, culture, background, class, or anything else, but instead we focus on helping the lost to be saved. That should be our spirit. You know, we've got to not show favoritism. I think another thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we repair relationships. So look over in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, and pick up in verse 23. Jesus says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." Now, there's a general principle here. If we want to worship God, but we know that there's unresolved issues in our relationship with another brother or sister, then the principle is you go and sort that out quickly. In fact, just leave your gift at the altar, go and get with your brother or your sister and be reconciled, and then come back and worship God. That we have to have the right attitude of, I can't just leave things unresolved. You cannot have awkward relationships in God's family, where you feel like, well, this person really upset me, and so I'm just going to avoid them. And if I see them in the fellowship over there, well, I'll just fellowship over here. Or you try not to make eye contact, because you're feeling, just feeling kind of awkward. That's horrible. What a horrible thing. You know, this morning, Paul challenged me on something. He challenged me on the fact that, you know, I'm responsible for bringing some of the equipment for the service, and I had to bring the laptop today for church, and I was late to getting here. I got here about 10 to 11. Although I did send the laptop ahead with my wife, so she came slightly earlier. But Paul was like, bro, you know, it's kind of putting things back, and we can't stop the service on time. And I was trying to explain to him, actually, yeah, I really wanted to get it on time, but the problem is I was doing this and I was doing that, and this happened. Yeah, but you know this, and I was kind of defensive. And I was like, you got to understand, I was running late because of other things and whatever. And it was kind of an awkward interaction. And this was right dead on 11 o'clock. And so then the service started. And so Paul got up there to song lead, along with all the other song leaders. And I'm sitting right in the front row, and I thought, I don't feel good. And so I didn't want to make eye contact with Paul. So I'm in the front row there, we're singing all these songs, "Shout to the Lord of the Earth." And I'm there, I've got my eyes closed. Because I'm feeling kind of, a little bit kind of, it's just an awkward interaction. It's just not good. And so immediately after we had the break for the children to go to the classes, I went and spoke to Paul. I said, "Look, I want to apologize. I was defensive. I shouldn't have done this." And he said, "Yeah, I want to apologize too, because, you know, that wasn't good timing and whatever. And so we apologized together, gave each other a hug, and I thought, it's great. I feel good. I still want to challenge him later, but that's okay. But we've got to be quick to repair relationships. Why? Because we're a family. And if you allow things to go unresolved, all it does, it'll build up and create this unity. You know, you want to be able to come to church and feel great about everyone who's there. You want to be able to come to church and to feel just encouraged to be with your brothers and sisters. Not that there's anything left unresolved, but that you are totally unified as part of God's family. You know, if we want to see God answer our prayers, then yes, we've got to make sure we're praying the right things, we've got to make sure that the timing is right, but also we've got to make sure that we are not the problem. And we've just looked at just a couple of areas today, just lack of faith and lack of love. And I believe if we can just simply make sure that we focus on ourselves and figure out these things and ask other people. In fact, I want to encourage you today, just make a resolution. What decision can you make that will help you to be selfless? What decision can you make in repairing an unresolved relationship. Just figure that out for yourself and make the resolution, okay, I'm going to talk about it with someone else today and get some help and make sure this changes. And when we do that, then we'll be able to see God answering our prayers. And we'll be able to see circumstances in our lives, just God being able to work powerfully. Because He wants to do that. He wants to bless each of us. You know, the reason I was late this morning was because I was baptizing my friend Simon. Simon, on Friday he came along to church, his back was playing up. You know, I shared with you on Friday how he'd been in a car accident end of last year, and he injured his ankle, injured his back. Then it kind of recurred again. I think the accident though was good, because it helped him to get more serious and urgent about sorting his life out with God. And since then we've been studying the Bible more fervently these last few weeks. And but his back injury meant that he was looking at the baptistry we use. He's thinking, I don't know if I can get in there. He said, you know, honestly, he said, I had thoughts of me getting stuck underneath the water and not being able to get up and get out. And so he just thought, you know what, I'm not sure. And he prayed about it. We prayed about it. His back got worse yesterday. Then this morning he rang me up and said, no, I just can't even. He said, I probably have to go to the hospital today to get it sorted. And so let's be praying for him. But I said, that's okay, we can baptize you in your bath. And so that's exactly what we did. I went around to his house this morning. In fact, actually, Julie was there, the villa was there. We took a couple of pictures. This is me baptizing Simon in his bath this morning. Go to the next picture, I just want to show you something. This is his bath. You can go to the next one. I've already offered. I said, if ever you want anyone to look after your house, I'll gladly house sit your bath for you, your house for you, but it's big enough for him to be able to lie down flat and get baptized, and so that's what we did this morning, and so that's the reason why I was late, but also that's the reason why we're not baptizing him here. I won't get him to stand because it's quite painful for him to stand up and stand and sit down again. But if you just wave your hand, so everyone can know who you are, and. Galatians 5:6 simply tells us that, you know, the thing that really counts is faith expressing itself in love. And I want to encourage us to have faith and love this morning and really allow God to use us and use our prayers powerfully. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. It's always great to hear the Word of God preached. I hope, if you are like me, there are many points in the sermon that kind of got my heart, and I think it's great to be reminded. Most of these things we kind of know, but I think just the idea of sin hindering prayers. You know, sin is one of those things where it destroys and damages our lives. And yet for some reason we keep quiet about things and we keep things. It's sometimes hard to talk about your sin. That's why it's always good to have some relationships and friends who you can talk to and just be open. The great thing about it is whatever you share, this is no surprise, but the person who is listening can probably share the same things to you. Okay, I can relate, I can understand. And that's the great thing about us being able to talk and share about the sins and get them off our chest. I think the idea of the final point there about repairing relationships and just about there being love and no sign of favoritism. Favoritism is one of those things you practice sometimes without even knowing it. You just treat people differently and then you have to maybe stop and maybe pray to God on relationships to make sure that you treat people across the board, people who treat you well or badly, to treat them well. And sometimes we need to pray about that, don't we? Just to pray to God to react and treat people in a loving and incredible way, and knowing that God will certainly work powerfully. Repairing relationships. Oh man. When Mike was sharing about sometimes feeling things with brothers and sisters, you know what it's like. You feel something, most cases you feel that you're right, and that's a bad thing, because then it's hard to work at it, because you feel you're right, and therefore the other person needs to work at it, and therefore nothing happens. But it's greater the fellowship if whoever it is. The Bible says it doesn't matter who's right or wrong at this point. Just if you remember there's something wrong, then you deal with it. And as a church, one of the biggest things that can destroy is that lack of harmony within the body of Christ. So let me encourage you all, if there's anything you feel towards another brother or sister, get the courage. Get some advice, maybe. A brother was asking me on advice this morning on how to bring something up. I said, you get advice. Because sometimes we say things without understanding how much pain it causes. But if we ask advice and learn, we can ask the right questions, we can apologize the right way, we can work things out the right way, and God will work to heal those relationships. So I want to thank Mike for such an incredible message. Thank you very much. It's also great to hear about Simon getting baptized. Well done. Amen. Simon, what did I say? Simon. I meant Simon. And also Titi's mum will be getting baptized shortly. Fantastic news. Let's go to God in prayer before we close the service with the final song. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that your word is true, is righteous. Father, your word is clear. Father, your word helps us to be better people for you. Father, so many people think that the word of God is difficult and is a challenge, and yet God, you give it to us as an incredible gift that we may grow and live righteous and wonderful lives. And I pray that we will not resist you, but that Father, we will surrender to you and your word. Father, I pray that we will be a people who will live harmoniously together. We will work at our relationships. We will love one another. We will work and make sure that our sin is not a hindrance to our prayers. I pray that when we pray to God, that we will really believe in the promises, that we will have passion and conviction when we pray, that you will hear our prayers, that we will pray to you, Father, to expose and reveal sin in our hearts, so that we will pray that you will help us to love, not just those who are easy to love, but those who we find difficult to love. I pray, God, that you help us to have the courage and the boldness and the humility, God, to be able to work at our relationships within the body, that we will speak freely and in love, and that we will be able to work together to build a wonderful kingdom for you. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for this day that we will see, or well, we have seen Simon get baptized. Thank you so much. Father, I pray that we will honor his commitment to you, and that we will be committed to him, that we will be there for him, God. We will listen to him. We will serve him, God. We will help him. We will study the Bible with him continuously, Father. We will see him mature and grow, and then he will start helping other people know you and become Christians too. Father, I want to thank you for Titi's mum as well, who is yet to be baptized. Thank you for Titi's example of joy and encouragement, Father. And I know, God, that you've seen her heart, God. And Father, you're blessing her heart and the desires for her family. Again, Father, I pray for her mother, God, that we will be there for her, Lord. That she will be our mother, that we will be her children. Father, help us to respect her, God, and give her full support. Help us to encourage her, Father, and lift her up, Father. We're very grateful for these things, these incredible blessings. We love you. We pray in your son's name. Amen. Let's all stand for a final song.